Welcome to the Collective. I am Zach Mo.
And I'm Collector.
And here we are with another episode.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Zach Mo, what the fuck on your head?
What do you mean, my headset?
Yeah, your headset. What's up with your headset? What's under your headset?
You mean my luscious golden hair?
Your luscious locks. Can you show them off a little bit? They're pretty fantastic.
Yeah, well, the freaking bangs keep going in my eyes. I can't see anything.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you get a bowl cut wig.
Well, shout out to our good friends. We got 20 likes. So
thank you guys for 20 thumbs up for the bowl cut wig for Zach Mo. Shout out Jamie for being on the episode and giving us the idea. I've been here in the studio with Zach Mo for probably an hour. We've been testing random different pieces of equipment, trying to get some things to work. And Zach Mo's been wearing this bowl cut wig the entire time. I genuinely wish I could have shown you guys the range of emotions that I was fortunate enough to experience. But sadly, you're just going to have to watch the whole episode to see if I can make him angry, maybe sad. You'll get to see all these reactions like I did, but in real time as well.
I mean, I can start messing around with my PlayStation again and get real angry.
I'm sure you could. How was your week in collecting, bro?
So I've sort of like taken, I don't know, maybe like two, like, I feel like I've taken like 2 weeks off of collecting, really, of buying anything. I know I didn't buy last week. I don't think I bought the week before. I'm just kind of taking a break. No particular reason either. Just, I don't know, saving some money for the summer. I got a lot of stuff coming up that I need money for, you know, being an adult.
Yeah. I mean, that's good self-control to have. Didn't you buy
it's also that
last week? I'm pretty sure you bought a Funko last week. I think I remember talking about this.
No, that was like 2 or 3 weeks ago. It came in the mail. I already got it.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It was last. Well, maybe it was 2 weeks ago.
It was like 3 weeks ago.
All right. I bet you bought stuff and you don't remember.
No, I don't think I did, because none of the sets right now, I guess, really interest me. I got to stop buying Paldean Fates because everything I pull is a dupe now. And
it's so tough on those big sets.
Yeah, I mean, and I think I need like, I don't know, give or take like 30 baby shinies left. I got all the SIRs, whatever you want to call them. Got all, there's no art rares in that, right? No.
There's
I got three, everything.
But you get them in
every other trio, pack.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What trio, Palafin, and the
Palmy.
Palmy, thank you. Yeah, I think I might have like 100 of each.
Send me those Palafins, bro.
I already sent you all the Palafins I have. Every Palafin I pull is with you, and you just keep it.
Yeah, that's true. I have a lot of Palafins. I need more Palafins. If you're listening to this and you're sitting on a mountain of Paldean Fates Palafins, I'm your guy. And the full art Pikachu from Celebrations. Send them in.
No, so so I really haven't done anything in a while. Collecting wise.
Okay. But you started buying wigs.
Well,
when you started buying the wigs, did you start buying the little heads that they sit on?
I should have.
You should. You didn't. That sounds like I'm gonna have to buy you one.
Well, I can put this on my Boba Fett helmet
for now. That's an even better idea.
Just sit it on Boba's helmet.
Could you imagine if Boba Fett had if in Mandalorian he took off his helmet and had that haircut?
That would be fantastic.
It would be pretty rad.
I mean, the show's already amazing. It would be 10 times more pretty amazing.
I think just about anything can be made better by someone wearing that wig. Not me, of course, but someone that I'm interacting with or watching.
No, I'll bring it on Sunday when we go to Collecticon.
Yeah, wear it at Con.
I'm gonna make you wear it.
No, you're wearing it at Con, and you should wear it at MSG. But just like casual, like don't mention it, like you're not, don't cosplay it, just like that. Like it's just my look. It's just who I am.
It came with a wig hairnet.
Oh right, in case you had hair and you wanted to switch it for that hair.
Right, I don't have
that's hair. A lofty whoever designed that's like, ooh, the Pokeball showing over my hat. Whoever designed that really did not need to include the extra hair net. I don't think people who can grow hair would choose that instead of their own hair.
You don't know that. What if they have like alopecia? Right.
Well, then there's someone who would, the wig net would be handy for.
There you go.
But they
and
likely,
that's why you get
a they likely would choose a different wig. You were the first sale that company's ever had on that wig. They had to cut a different wig into that shape to send it to you.
I doubt it. This is, you can't really tell because I have the headset on, but this is a bob, like a real Karen bob.
Got it. Okay. I thought it was supposed to, I thought it was a bowl cut, but you're right. I can't quite see the back portion of it.
It's a real bob.
All right. All right, Bob.
All right. So yeah, that's that was my week in collecting.
Sounds pretty uneventful, like an uneventful week in collecting.
Yeah, well, like I was saying, I only need like give or take 30 baby shinies to complete Beldian Fates. So I really gotta stop buying that set. And there's nothing else out that really is catching my eye at the moment.
So you're not on this Twilight Masquerade hype train.
No.
Man, this hype train is like unstoppable right now.
I got maybe two of the cards that I wanted. Being the
Arcanine Terran.
First of all, it's Growlithe.
Growlithe Perrin, my bad.
Well, I didn't get the SAR Perrin in English. I got it in Japanese in a PSA 10, by the way. But I got the Chansey Art Rare. I wanted that. I think that might be about it.
So and Growlithe and Chansey?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, I mean, definitely two of the strongest art rares. The Eevee is the undisputed king of the art rares from that set right now, as far as the market response to the art rares go.
Well, isn't it also like the hardest to get?
No, the pull rates are the same on all the art rares. That's like a really common misnomer.
Well, I guess if you're watching your stream, you pulled it very little.
Right.
Compared to the others.
It may feel that way, but there's 30 art rares in the set or however many art rares, right? And art rares are one in however many packs, and they're just randomized. It's not like there's less Eevee than there are Growlithe. They're the same numbers. It's the same as Umbreon VMAX and Rayquaza VMAX in Evolving Skies. The likelihood of pulling them, well, right, but you've also opened less than 36 packs of Evolving Skies. The pull rates are like 1 in 1,200 packs for each of them.
Mm-hmm.
But the pull rates are the same, is what I'm saying. So, like, a VMAX alt art is equally hard to pull, whether it's Rayquaza or Umbreon. So, I believe, unless there's new pull rates in this Scarlet Violet era, which I don't believe there are, the art rares all have the same likelihood of being pulled from the packs. The rarity is just art rare, not like some art rares are harder than others. Same for SARs. The rarity is just like, here's the SARs. They all have the same rarity. Although it definitely feels like Greninja is much harder to pull. I've on like almost six cases in a row with no Greninja, which is a lot compared to some of the other sets. And that card is like, it's aggressive right now. That card is aggressively expensive. Same with the Eevee, dude. Eevee's like $75. Yeah. I mean, it like wavered a little bit, but like, and the PSA 10s are coming down, but it's like 240 right now for Ninja.
I think I checked it last week. I saw it maybe at 280.
Yeah, so it may have backed off a little bit, but it's still aggressive.
Mm.
240-ish. We've seen PSA 10s sell for more than Moonbryon or the same price as Moonbryon. It's crazy. That card is crazy. And Eevee, too. Eevee's insane. The PSA 10 is like $400 or $500 or something like that.
For just a regular art rare.
Correct.
Damn.
Yeah. Eevee's insane right now. And I called that before Twymask even came out, I'd like to point out. I don't know if I said it on the collective or if I said it on stream. I started saying it, so it had to be on stream because I started saying it before Magikarp broke $100. Before Magikarp broke $100, we saw the Eevee, and I said Eevee's going to be the first art rare over $100. And then
I'm not going to be mean for once. I remember you saying that.
I called it before we even had it in Japanese. And I said, this will be the first.
I do remember you saying that.
the first art rare over $100 in the Scarlet Violet era will be this Eevee. And I was wrong only because there was this massive pump on the Magikarp. So Magikarp broke 100 first, but we saw like this crazy market manipulation happening. And then now Magikarp has just like maintained the hype train. It's $100+ card, 140 right now, something like that. But we saw growth in a lot of art rares. Shout out Ninetales, went up another dollar this week. My investment wins on Ninetales.
I still have one. And we did the math last time. And I think you said it was worth like $3 when I bought it. Like when I bought the booster box.
Yeah, it was like whatever, $2.90 a pack or something like that.
Right.
$3 so a pack. Card. So you assign that value to the Ninetales.
Right.
And now it's at 1280 something market. I look it up all the time. This is the first time I've ever done an experiment like this. I have six copies of Ninetales right here. You can't see them because the
cards. And you couldn't give I know there was somebody
I didn't have them when Carissa was chasing it. I bought them recently.
Carissa, if you watch this, he's lying.
It's not true. I'm not that's a lie. I'm not lying. I can give you receipts, Carissa, for when I bought these. I bought them because I thought they were going to go up in value. I didn't pull them. I bought all those.
I pulled mine, which makes it cooler.
It is cooler. Yep. Those are not part of my collection. That's part
I of actually it. Pulled two of them, but I traded
part of an one. Extremely. Oh, you couldn't trade one to Carissa? You jerk.
This was a long time ago.
Whatever, Karen. That's not part of my collection.
Manager.
That's part of my investment portfolio. My massive play on Ninetales.
That's retirement right there, baby.
Yeah, baby. I really do think they'll be $30 a card. And I just like it was such a small investment, like $30, that whatever. Like we'll just see what happens. You know, worst case, it's a beautiful card.
Exactly.
It's an easy thing for me to get behind to do. I guess as far as like the market recap, like anything else market wise, there's the market is a little strange right now. Twilight is like has really taken the spotlight on a lot of things. Sword and Shield booster boxes backed off. There's been a lot of like restock. You know, we saw like a little bit of resupply. We saw a little bit of Brilliant Stars hit the market, a little bit of Lost Origin hit the market, and that buckles the prices a bit. But you know what we saw, I think, from Sword and Shield is that as soon as the availability is truly gone and we stop getting these small little resupplies, the growth on the boxes is limitless. Evolving Skies, we saw some super weird sales going on this last week on booster boxes. Very difficult to say if it's like market manipulation on Evolving Skies or what was going on. But if you look on TCG Player, you'll see sales for booster boxes at like $350, $500, like crazy, crazy, crazy low prices that don't make any sense.
Oh, okay. That's low. Okay. I was going to say.
So, yeah. So what you can do, like, obviously, like we've talked about market manipulation where people can buy every copy of a card and then jack the price up super, super high. Well, that's to raise the price on a card, right? If you have like a strong position in that card, that's why you would manipulate the market that way. The other thing you could do in theory to manipulate a market if you don't have as strong a position as you want is to try to manipulate the market down. I love this hair.
Yeah, I knew you were
agitating you.
It took in my freaking eyes.
You can you can manipulate a market down by dumping however many boxes at a low price, and then that could create FOMO like the other way, where people are like, oh my god, it's dropping, I need to sell Evolving right now, I'm going to sell it for $450 so I can get out of this and not lose all my money, I don't want to lose my shirt. Everybody starts dumping Evolving Skies, and the person who started this trend sits back and buys it all and says, okay, well, guess what, now it's $1,000 a box because I own all of it. So
that's capitalism.
That's one of the ways to manipulate markets. So who knows if that's what we saw. I mean, it was like 4 or 5 sales on TCG Player, right? It's a very limited window, but it's one of the things that we all look at for reliable pricing on Evolving Skies or anything, really. But other things, I think, shaking and moving in the market, not much. I think what we're seeing right now is this weird stagnation period that happens when we're out of the initial hype cycle of a new set and close to the next new set. So we have Shrouded Fable dropping, and there's a lot of hype around Stellar Crown. So basically between now and Shrouded Fable, we'll see like stabilization, I think, of some of the art rares. So with the glasses is better. For those of you that are just listening, now he has donned some glasses. And apologies for those of you listening. He's also wearing a platinum blonde. What color is it? Jamie said, someone said it wasn't platinum blonde. I don't know what color it is. It's an Alolan Doug Trio blonde bob wig. If you didn't figure that out, it's just a 10 out of 10. You should stop listening on Spotify and go check us out on YouTube just for this one episode. Oh, there it is. There's the sticker that inspired. We'll have to put like a picture up at the end of that. I'll send you a PNG file. That's good. What was I even saying? I'm so distracted. I could just stare at that for an hour. This is so gratifying. This is way better than me having to buy you a hot dog. What was the other thing that I had to do? Oh, buying you the slab.
Yeah, the Growlithe.
Yeah, this is way better than both of those.
Was it worth it?
Buying you the slab and having to buy you a hot dog? I don't think those were precursors to this. I didn't even put you up to this. I don't know how this happened.
I put me up to it.
You mentioned it. Love it. Did you make the original sticker design too of yourself, mm-hmm. or did Haley do that?
No, I did that.
Okay. Well, I love it.
Because I don't remember exactly. You said.
I think. No, I know. I remember Haley.
No. This is what happened. You, during stream, you told everybody to post the pictures of them with that hairstyle, or like with blonde hair or something like that. So I naturally cropped my face onto the Wook Trio.
Got it.
And sent it in.
And then I had Haley Ann like resize it and make it an emote for chat. Right. That's what happened. So that's an available emote for chat. If you subscribe to the Collectors Club on TikTok.
Send them my face.
Yeah. I guess the only other thing that's like notable in the market, Fusion Strike, Poke Center exclusive ETBs finally sold out on the Pokemon Center website. So if you have those and you're waiting for your position to increase so you can offload them, keep your eyes on the market because they're probably going to start to move in the next month or so now that they are no longer available on the Pokemon Center website. If you're looking to purchase Pokemon Center ETBs from Sword and Shield, there are still a few available, but Fusion Strike did officially sell out on the US Poke Center website. So that's noteworthy. When things sell out on the Poke Center website is like kind of like the last thing that holds them back before they start their climb in value.
Makes sense.
Other things are just continuing to waver, right? We're seeing some things gain value, some things lose value. Everything moved out of all the alt arts for the most part, lost value from their high like three, four weeks ago. And we're seeing them back, you know, back to a more stable place. Giratina starting to come back up a little bit. It's going to be strange for the next little bit here as we continue to adjust to this weird new norm that we have in the Scarlet Violet era, which is cards exceeding their pre-sales. Normally, I mean, we talked about this already, but normally pre-sale is the highest value you're going to get for a card, like right before the set comes out, and with only a few exceptions. And that's not the case right now. I mean, that Greninja, the Eevee, those cards exploded, man. It makes, which is really cool. I mean, it makes opening these sets like so much more fun. You know, there's a reason. There's a reason way more people are ripping Twilight Masquerade than are ripping, you know, Scarlet Violet base set, right? There's just way more value to pull out of Twilight Masquerade. You know, even if you don't get the cards you're chasing, at least you get a fair amount of cards that you can either trade or sell to get the cards that you're chasing.
Very true.
And the Greninja's really, really, really nice. I got to see it again yesterday in person. It's so sick.
Which game introduced Greninja? I can't remember.
I don't know. I can look it up, but I don't know.
Well, did you ever play any of the games?
Yeah, I played lots of Pokemon games.
Which one's your favorite?
I mean, I'm OG to this day. Still play like Red. He's a Gen 6 Pokemon.
Gen 6. What were the other starters? Froakie.
Is that Fennekin? Yeah, Fennekin, Froakie, and Chessman.
I don't think I played a lot of Gen 6.
No. Definitely not. But Greninja is one of the few Pokemon that can beat Charizard in terms of popularity. There were a few years where Greninja beat Charizard in like a national vote or something on who the best or most popular Pokemon was.
I don't get it.
Well, I mean, so you were older. Like, if you were just getting into Pokemon,
well, I mean,
and Greninja even was your starter, and your other options were Chestnut or Frogadier or
Delphox.
Delphox. No contest.
What are you talking about? Delphox had a magical wand.
No contest.
Okay. But even, even if we're talking not OG, just like in general, I don't see the appeal of Greninja.
I do. I think Greninja's a really cool Pokemon. He's got really dark energy about him. Like the whole, a lot of the artwork surrounding Greninja. He's a ninja, dude. Like, first of all, there's that, right? And
his tongue is his scarf.
That's fine. I can deal with that. It's a cool artwork. I like the artwork, but he's a dark water type, which is sick. And a lot of the artwork around Greninja is really, really sick. And
I'll give you that. They do pretty good artwork. I'll give you that.
Well, I mean, what more? What else do you want? You don't like his tongue scarf?
I don't know. It just looks gangly, and I don't know. I just don't like
it. I like it. I think Greninja's sick. I do like Greninja quite a bit. And I think this new card is probably one of the best Terastalized SIRs that we've gotten.
It's another thing I hate.
The Terastalized SIRs are strange. They take a lot of getting used to. The crown is very off.
Terastalized anything I don't like. Like, I've been playing Scarlet and Violet since it came out, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Not a fan of the Terastalized system.
So, in-game?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know if it's the aesthetics. It's probably just the aesthetics to me.
Mm.
I think it makes it look...
The aesthetics are definitely strange. It's like a...
It's goofy. It's goofy looking.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, it's for kids. I get it. You know, it's not made for a 32-year-old man.
Right.
But, I mean, the Mega Evolutions, the Dynamax evolutions from...
Sword and Shield.
I didn't think were goofy. I mean, they were... The Dynamax is goofy, don't get me wrong. Your Pokemon just becomes a goddamn building, but... I don't know. I don't know why the Terastalize, it's just very, very goofy to me, and I'm not
I like the mechanic, but that doesn't really matter too much to me, because I haven't had time to like play Scarlet Violet, and really not even Sword and Shield, to be honest. I mean, the last 20 plus hours I put into Pokemon were on Emerald, I think.
On what?
Emerald. Yeah.
We're going back to the Game Boy Advance.
Yeah. Well, I had an Anbernic RG35 XX.
As do I.
I had it. I gave it to my nephew, but yeah.
Oh, I still have mine because I don't have a nephew.
He was like over my house one day randomly, and he's like super into video games. He's young. He's 5 or 6. I can't remember if he turned 6 yet or not, but he is super into video games, and he plays like tons of Minecraft. He's exceptional at video games. His video game skill set like blows my mind.
Tell him to 1v1 me then.
He plays a lot of Minecraft and Sonic. So randomly we were like bored. We were at my house for my younger daughter's first birthday party, and we got out of the pool, and he was just like sitting there bored, and I handed him the RG35, and he just like didn't stop playing. I was like,
well, there's also hundreds of games on those things.
Yeah, I told him he could just keep it. It's fine. I haven't played it. I had to charge it to give it to him, actually. It was like totally dead, so it's fine. But I mean, so I played a lot of games when I was young, I played a lot of video games. I started
your favorite?
My favorite video game.
Yeah.
I had different games at different ages. I think the game I put the most time on was Tony Hawk 1. Still to this day, I think that game, it's probably, I don't know if that's true. I probably put more time into Grand Theft Auto, but
which one?
It was as a collection. You know what I mean? Like, if we're talking about one single game that I played more than any other game, it was Tony Hawk. One. Nope, only one. Now, I played Pro Skater 2. I played Underground. I played 4 a lot. I think I missed 3 for some reason. What was 3 called?
I like 3. It was called 3.
Okay, so I think I missed that entirely, but I did play Underground.
And then there was Underground 2.
And I think I played Underground 2 as well. And then after that, there was like a departure to a game that had a board, right?
You're right. What was that called?
I did not play that one. But then Skate came out. And I never played Tony Hawk again
until
they remastered Tony Hawk, which I then replayed and went all the way
through. I didn't even play it then. Once I found Skate, the mechanics on Skate were
significantly better. So I played Skate pretty hardcore for a long time, but I still think to this day, like, I'm thinking back, I literally would have blisters on my thumb from the N64 controller playing Tony Hawk. I mean, I would beat the game with no cheats and go back and then beat it with cheats and then go back and beat it with no cheats. Like, I just played that game nonstop when I was a kid.
Me too. But that was a good one.
I mean, prior to that, I had other consoles. I played video games. I had NES, I had Sega Genesis, and then I had N64. Dude, now that I'm thinking about it, do you have GameCube?
Actually, no. I went from N64 to PlayStation, and then I stuck with PlayStation, went to PS2, and then I switched to Xbox 360.
So I was similar, but GameCube instead of PlayStation, and then PS2, and then 360. Mm-hmm. But GameCube, bruh.
I didn't like the controller.
Dude, we played so much. Me and my brother played a lot. I played a lot by myself. Aggressive Inline. Did you ever play that game? Was that even available
on other consoles? They had that. I think it was for PS2. I had it.
I played that on GameCube. NBA Street, I played on GameCube.
Wow. Aggressive Inline. That brought me back.
Dude, that game was amazing.
I remember it had
the best soundtrack of any video game of all time. Yep. The best soundtrack.
I wouldn't go that far.
Look it up. I'm telling you right now. Take a note. Look up the soundtrack to that video game on Spotify. Every song, banger.
I don't know about all that.
I'm telling you, bro. That soundtrack and the original Tony Hawk soundtrack, top notch.
Vice City had one of the best soundtracks.
But Vice City, you could have like, it wasn't like a 12 songs on
repeat. But every station was perfect.
Yeah, but there was
more. Every station was perfect.
Commentary and like it fit the scene, I agree, but it was like you can't go back and listen to the Vice City soundtrack.
Sure you can.
I don't know. Not like I would like Aggressive Inline had like 12 songs.
I'm sure you can find multiple playlists on Spotify or I don't know how Apple Music works.
But how many songs are in Vice City, bro? It had to be 1,000.
Probably
songs.
A lot. I wouldn't say 1,000, but a lot.
It was a lot of songs.
Yeah, but
I mean,
it was no
Rockstar in general. Rockstar is in their own category. How old were you when you started playing video games?
I couldn't tell you. I was very young. We had the.
What got you into playing video games?
My mom bought a Super Nintendo.
That was your first console?
I think so.
My grandma had the OG Game Boy, the gray one. That was like a brick.
We had that. I had that.
And she played Tetris with the volume all the way up.
Nice.
And Dr. Mario. I don't even remember Dr. Mario.
I do.
So she would play those games all the time. And I could, like, to this day, I can, like, picture being in the basement. Like, I could, like, smell the basement. and she would just be playing Tetris constantly. My brother has her. She's passed away for quite some time. My brother has that Game Boy up on one of his shelves right now, which is sick. It's really, really cool.
I had Kirby's Dream Land for it. You remember that one?
I never was really in. I mean, I played it, but I was never into Kirby. My cousin was into Kirby, and we would play Kirby at his house, and still I just couldn't get into it. He had SNES.
Okay, yeah, I think I just had a regular Super Nintendo.
That's what I mean. SNES.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
So wow. I had NES, and then I skipped. I think NES. I went straight to Sega.
I don't think we ever owned a Sega.
Sega was the first console that was like mine. The NES was my dad's.
The Super Nintendo was me and my brothers and my sister, right. But.
So it was me and my sister. My brother was like an infant at the time that we got the Sega. The NES was my father's. We would play like Duck Hunt, Punch Out, and Mario.
Nice.
I probably, bro, now that I think about it, when I was in college, I put a lot of hours into Mario, the original Mario. I can still speed run Mario to World 6, and then I lose it after that. But I can speed run to 6.
I used to love that game.
I put a lot of hours into that in college.
My favorite because I guess I remember more from the N64, because like Super Nintendo, I was pretty young.
You're 32, you said?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're off by 3.5-ish years.
Yeah. So like I remember on N64 was it Red and Blue? When Stadium came out?
Like Pokemon Stadium?
Yeah.
What about Red and Blue?
Well, they had the bundle thing that you can put on back of the controller, and you can put the cartridge thing, and you can put your Red or Blue into the controller, and then the Pokemon you had in the game.
I definitely never did that.
You could use it on Pokemon Stadium.
I don't even think I played Stadium, which is like heresy, but I don't think I did. I played Snap a ton.
I played Snap a bunch. Snap was fun.
I didn't play much Stadium. In fact, I went back to play Stadium on the RG35, and I was like, I don't remember ever playing this. So I may have missed Stadium.
Stadium was a lot of fun. Yeah, you might have.
Because by the time, if you're 3.5 years younger, by the time you were playing Stadium, was N64 new at that time, or it had been out, right?
It had been out.
So I probably had like, I wonder what year Stadium came out. Like, why would I not have played that? If the PS2 had come out, I was already off N64 and onto PS2.
I don't think the PS2 was out yet.
I don't know. I know my buddy had PlayStation 1.
And we went from N64 to PlayStation 1.
Maybe it was GameCube that came out then, and that's what I switched to.
Maybe.
Or maybe I just missed Stadium.
Yeah, you might have just missed it.
I mean, I played like, I remember playing like NFL Blitz, Tony Hawk, so much Tony Hawk, GoldenEye. I played a lot. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I played a lot of GoldenEye.
Played a lot of Donkey Kong 64.
I never played Donkey Kong. I never played like any Mario 64. I didn't play like any of the Mario games. Any of the like true Nintendo games, I really didn't play on N64.
You didn't play Mario 64?
I played Mario 64, but the rest of the Mario line, like Mario Party, even Smash. I didn't play too much Smash on GameCube. I didn't play it very much.
I
played Mario 64. I actually forgot. I think it came with the N64.
I couldn't tell you. I don't remember.
I think we got like a bundle that came with Mario 64.
It's when consoles were like $100.
I'm playing Mario Sunshine.
No, right now you're talking to me.
Well, the game that I'm currently playing through is Mario Sunshine.
The game I currently am playing,
we all know,
is a wonderful little number called Red Dead Redemption 2.
I feel like we're skipping too far. I think we need to like, hold our horses and continue through the conversation before we get to RDR2.
So PS2 came out. I bought Vice City. That was my first Grand Theft Auto game. No, I think 3.
I played GTA 3 on a friend's computer.
No, yeah, 3 came out.
Vice City.
and then Vice City.
Mm-hmm.
I loved Vice City. It yep. changed me.
Yep.
What else did I play on PlayStation 2? All the Tony Hawk's, Guitar Hero.
Dude, I forgot about that. Yeah, we had Guitar Hero and Rock Band. My brother and I are both musicians, and so yeah, I'm like a jack of all trades, ace of none kind of guy. My brother gets like savant level good at stuff that he really likes.
Mm-hmm.
And Guitar Hero is one of those things. He's like, he could like beat whatever song on expert mode. You know,
I got the first song I ever beat on expert was Mother by Danzig.
That's a good song.
It's a solid song. It's a very easy song to play on expert.
I don't know. I don't think I played any of them on expert. Mm-hmm. But I played Guitar Hero forever, bro. I played Guitar Hero like in college. We were still playing Guitar Hero.
So me and my friends used to get 40s from the store. We were underage. And then we'd go back to my house, drink some oldie, foudies, and play Rock Band and get wasted while playing Rock Band. It was awesome. And I miss those days oh so much.
We never did that with 40s. The only thing we ever did with 40s was called Eddie 40 Hands. And I feel like this is a very strange thing. You know what it is? Oh, good.
Of course.
I was going to say it's a Jersey thing, but you're in New York.
Duct tape the 40 to your hands.
And my buddy got a little too inebriated and he clapped him and ended up in the hospital.
Now, I had a friend and she decided to play for Loco Hands. That was a night, let me tell you.
So I guess real quick for people who don't know, Eddie 40 Hands, I can't believe you know what that is. I guess this is like a thing. You'd get two old English 40s and duct tape the 40 to your hand, and you couldn't untape
it. Didn't have to be oldie. It could be
Budweiser. That's
you just, get a 40 ounce.
Yeah, whatever, you get a 40. And you would duct tape them to your hands. You couldn't take them off until you finished them.
Right.
That was at least how I remembered it. But
that's how I remembered it.
Anyway, right, my buddy got too drunk and smashed the bottles together and cut his hands.
If this video gets 100 likes on YouTube, I will play Eddie 40 Hands next week's episode. But it has to be 100.
100 thumbs up. You heard it here first, bro. Zach Moe's going to be playing Eddie 40 Hands. That's pretty awesome. That would be a hell of an episode. All right, so we're like 100. Already at the point where we're doing degenerate shit. So we can fast forward through like GameCube. Right. At this point, you have a 360, I'm assuming.
Right. And then with the 360 came Call of Duties for me.
COD World is where I switched to also. Were you a Halo player or did you go pretty much?
I bought COD? Three. I bought Halo 3 because all my friends were playing it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like it as much as COD. I enjoyed it a bit, but much preferred Call of Duty.
You were playing Modern Warfare?
No. So or when Allied I got Assault. Into no, when I got into Call of Duty, I was playing World at War.
Oh wow!
Which is one okay. that came after.
That was Modern on, Warfare. I played that on PC.
World at War?
Yeah,
that I was put that on Xbox. It was no. Modern Warfare was the big hit.
Allied Assault was Medal of Honor. Now that I'm rethinking,
Medal of Honor, I also used to play.
That was Allied Assault because we called it MOHA. That's what I played on PC, and I played that at actual LAN parties.
Medal of Honor was dope.
Yeah, we played MOHA. And what I remember about that is that you could take a rocket launcher and jump and shoot the rocket launcher right after you jumped. You had to time it right. And then it would rocket you up into the sky. That's what I remember about MOHA. But I switched to COD and my memories of COD start at like MW2.
Right. So I did World at War. I remember because of my, the zombies. I fell in love with the zombies. That was the first iteration we got of Call of Duty Zombies. And then Modern Warfare 2 came.
Nuketown, like, game changer.
I mean, Modern Warfare 2 was a game changer in, you know, online playing with your friends.
Yeah.
That it changed the whole way that I think we gamed for the.
Did you bot play?
Bot on, play?
Yeah, on Modern Warfare 2.
That was what, against time, robots?
But in, like, free-for-all mode? Or like,
team deathmatch? I might have when like friends would come over.
So we would like in college, like we would play online for a while, but then I would play that game by myself against bots, and you could set it, dude. It was like
I remember you could set the difficulty.
Difficulty to like walk in the park, right? Like whatever the easiest difficulty was, I would set it to like 17 or 18 bots versus me in a team deathmatch, and I would go to Nuketown, and you would go. I would in Nuketown. There's really only two spots to spawn. You're either behind the yellow house or the blue house,
right?
And so when you start in this bot mode, all the bots, it's literally they like file in a line down the sides of the house. Like very few come through the doors. So I would, oh my God, bro. I was like, I'm the best at Call of Duty. I just had a 74 kill streak. Like so ridiculous. Meanwhile, I'm literally just killing bots for no reason.
Man,
but I was already in college by the time we were playing Modern Warfare 2. And then I was like done. I never had a PS3, I don't think. I think I pretty much
didn't do PS3
for a long time.
So I did 360 and then went to the next system was the Xbox One.
And then I had a one
and I continued to play Call of Duty for a while, and of course all the other, you know, Grand Theft Autos, all the games. And then I stopped playing Call of Duty when they started introducing like the exoskeleton suits and shit like that. I don't know. It became too much like Halo with the jumping and everything like that. It just wasn't for me. And then from Xbox One, I got the Xbox One X, which is what I believe I still have. Or the Xbox, Xbox One X, because now it's the Xbox Series X.
San Andreas came out at some point.
That was PlayStation 2.
What was after Vice City?
San Andreas.
After San Andreas, then?
San Andreas. And 4.
5. Okay.
And 4 I had on the 360.
And then 5?
Came out. That came out in 2013.
Damn, dude. It's been that long since we got a GTA?
Yeah. It's been that long. It's also been like 7 months since we got the trailer for GTA 6, which is wild.
I can't wait for GTA 6.
Well, I just mean it's wild that it's been 7 freaking months already.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that was a leak. That wasn't supposed to be out.
No, yeah, I know. But yeah, no, that came out in 2013.
All right, real quick pause on the time frame because I feel like we're about to get into RDR2. Back it up, Nintendo Wii.
Didn't have played at a friend's house.
I spent so much time playing Wii Sports.
That's all we played at my friend's house.
Oh my God. Did they even make any other games for the Nintendo Wii? If they did,
there was a lot of games for the Nintendo
Wii. That was a Wii Sports playing console. That was it.
Yeah. I mean, that's all we played on it.
That's all we played.
40s and Wii Sports.
So fun. Yeah, dude. So much golfing. I don't know why we all played so much golf on Wii Sports.
We did the. We did the bowling all the time.
Bowling, we did a lot of bowling too, of course. You remember the bowling hack? I think you could hit like the 100, how to like get a strike on the 100 pin. There was like a certain frame that you had to line up to and you could get a strike on 100 pin bowling. I can't remember it, but it definitely existed because we did it a lot.
I don't remember.
All right. Well, anyway, we've covered every console and we're getting to your favorite part. When Rockstar released the game that changed your life.
Well, no. If we're going to when Rockstar released the game that changed my life, we're going back to 2010.
To RDR. All right.
I remember seeing
the Red Dead Redemption, by the way, for people who don't know what RDR is. Red Dead Redemption.
It's basically Grand Theft Auto in the early 1900s Wild West. Literally, that's what it is.
Open world, you're a cowboy. You can basically do anything you want on the map. As long as it's like functionally available in the game, you can walk around, run around, ride a horse, steal a stagecoach. It's literally the same concept of Grand Theft Auto, where it's a free roaming open world game, but it follows the storyline of a cowboy.
Couldn't have said it better myself. So yeah, back in 2010, I remember seeing the trailer, freaking out, geeking out over it. I remember I ordered it, I think maybe off Amazon, early days of Amazon, and it was release day delivery. And I'm sitting on the stoop with my buddies waiting for the UPS driver. UPS driver pulls up and goes, "What is this, a porno? You all just sitting here waiting?" It felt like a porno, let me tell you. That was the first game I ever completely 100% like for sure completed.
Mm-hmm.
Every single little bit of that game I completed. And then lo and behold, we got Red Dead Redemption 2 in 2018. Easily the best game I've ever played in my entire life.
So a lot of people would argue that, and there's so many games that they would put ahead of Red Dead Redemption 2. Why is that your favorite? How does it beat out like Assassin's Creed, Skyrim, Breath of the Wind?
Well,
these are games that people will say are better.
Well, I'm also like a very big old, you know, Wild West kind of guy. I love Westerns and shit like that with my dad growing up watching them. So being able to immerse myself into a world where I can be, you know, an outlaw living off the land. In Red Dead Redemption 2, Rockstar had put so much detail into this game. Like, I'm still discovering new stuff today. It's been, what, 6 years?
Yeah.
I'm still discovering new, like, new little bits of detail that I didn't notice prior to my, you know, my prior playthroughs. Not to get too graphic, but this is how much detail they got. If you're riding your horse in the snowy mountains, the testicles get smaller. That's how much detail they put into this game. It is redonkulous.
But that's an interesting detail.
I mean, yeah, all the details they've done is crazy.
So do you think that it's more detailed than GTA 5?
Absolutely.
And why do you think that is?
Because they had more time to work on it. It came out 5 years after GTA 5. So my assumption is GTA 6 is going to be absolutely insane.
Yeah.
Knowing what they did with Red Dead Redemption 2, being on the, you know, the newer consoles, and Red Dead Redemption 2 came out PS4, Xbox One X era. So right now we're in the newer generation with the PS5 and the Xbox mm-hmm. Series X and S. GTA 6 is going to be absolutely fucking insane. But what are you going to say?
I'm planning on taking 2 weeks off.
Oh, I'm quitting my job. Yeah, I'm quitting my job. So I'll be
buying whatever. Like, it depends on when we get it. Like, that's another one of the reasons I'm hesitant to buy a PS5.
I heard rumor that they may be waiting for next gen consoles.
Right.
Wouldn't surprise me.
So if we get PlayStation 6 when GTA 6 comes out, I will absolutely be buying both at the same time, and
nobody will
hear from me for 2 weeks. I'll probably buy a new TV to put in this office so that I can just lock the door and be in here for 2 weeks.
My wife is listening to this podcast.
I promise I'll help with housework.
I'll make sure of it.
There will be no podcast that week. There will be nothing but GTA.
Yeah. Going back to why RDR2 is my favorite, though. So not even just the small amounts of detail. That game had one of the best stories I've ever played through in a video game. I've seen many of people, including myself, full men with tears in their eyes at the end of that game.
No spoilers. I haven't played through RDR2.
I'm not saying any spoilers.
I'm not even through RDR. You're definitely passionate about the game. I mean, you're like a collector of RDR2 things. You know,
got a poster behind you.
You got a poster of it. You got it's a big part of your life. And I think that's, you know, speaks to the game. I think that I agree that from what I've seen anyway, it's way more detailed than GTA 5. I actually didn't realize how separated the releases were. Mm-hmm. I assumed that because there were less, AI is not the right word. Like bots, technology? But that's also not the right word. There were less things interacting with the map in the Red Dead games than there were in Grand Theft Auto games. Like in Grand Theft Auto, there were cars everywhere. There were people everywhere.
Yeah.
There were so many things to trigger the next series of events. In Red Dead, it feels like everything's just like stretched out. You know, there's more space for these fine details.
So another thing I picked up on the other day I was playing, This is just a thing about, you know, the detail. I had robbed a train on the very north of the map. I rode the train to the very north, went into a tunnel and robbed it. I didn't know the name of the location I was in. An hour later, I'm playing the game still, and I'm down in like the very south of the game, of the map. And I hear an NPC say to somebody else, "Did you see they robbed another train up at Glacier Pass?" And in game, this was probably like, I don't know, 2 or 3 days in game later. And I was like, "Was that the train I just robbed?" And it was exactly where I just was. So like the little things like that, I think are incredible. That like you'll just hear that. Like I wasn't interacting with the NPC. I just heard the NPC talking to another NPC.
Right.
And they're talking about the train that I robbed.
That was the word I was looking for too, NPC.
Which stands for a non-playable character.
Right. There are many more NPCs in Grand Theft Auto than there are in Red Dead. At least.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least I feel like, maybe not. Maybe that's not necessarily true, but in a lot of parts of the maps in Grand
Theft Auto, it's more dense. No, yeah, it's more dense. Yeah. I get what you're saying.
All right. So I'm excited for GTA 6. And I really don't play too many other games. We have a Switch in this house, and that's basically it. That's why I'm playing Sunshine right now.
I have a Switch.
My daughter's crying. Sorry if you can hear that.
Couldn't hear it. Okay. I thought it was you.
I can hear her, which means people on the podcast might be able to hear her too.
I have a Switch, PS5, Xbox One X. I'm not going to buy another Xbox because I think they're going to start phasing out consoles. That's funny that we're talking about it today. I saw Amazon is offering a bundle of an Xbox controller, Game Pass monthly subscription, and a Fire Stick. So I think Microsoft is starting to phase out consoles.
They move to
other platforms. I think they're going to try to have Microsoft games on PlayStation because Microsoft has a very, very good catalog of games. But their consoles are always outdone by PlayStation consoles. I don't think they've ever made a profit on console sales.
How have they not made a profit on a console sale?
I may be using the wrong terminology, but I don't think that they've ever had like a gross profit from it. I remember reading this months ago. I don't think they ever break or, pardon me. Maybe not profit, but I think they just break even on their console sales.
That's really interesting. I didn't know that. That's like how Amazon reported in the red for so many years. I mean, obviously they were making a fortune, but they reported in the red. It's interesting. I wonder if something similar was happening with console. The technology is so expensive to run these high-end consoles and produce these high-end consoles.
I think they were just breaking even and trying to keep up with the, you know, the price value maybe. So PlayStation has always outdone them in console sales. So I believe that they're going to start phasing it out. And I think they're going to start putting Microsoft games. So you're going to see maybe possibly don't, you know, I'm not saying it's 100% going to happen, but you may be seeing new Halo games, Gears games coming out on PlayStation. Or maybe they'll be exclusive to like the Amazon. I forget what their gaming thing is called, but it may be exclusive to that.
That's interesting. We're all going to need better televisions.
Good thing my television is Amazon built in.
Yeah, all my technology is Samsung. My phone, my computer, my TV, it's all Samsung.
I think it's an Insignia. Insignia?
Yeah, Insignia.
Yeah, that's what I got. It was on sale for like, I don't know, $250 during the pandemic. It's a 52-inch screen. I was like, all right, I'll take it.
Yeah, the processors are not strong enough, though, in the televisions to run anywhere near the video gaming, game level.
Yeah, no, they're going to have to start selling them with also internal storage.
There's a lot that would have to change. Is that what you're thinking the future is? Like the television's going to have a built-in gaming console?
No, not necessarily. I think maybe Amazon will come out with a special Fire Stick that's sort of a console. I'm just saying, I think Microsoft, my whole point was that Microsoft is going to phase out their consoles.
and go with what instead?
I think they're just going to sell their Microsoft games or have like a Game Pass exclusive thing on like a PlayStation or an Amazon Fire Stick, whatever Amazon, you know, does. Because their games always sell really well. They're, I mean, Halo, huge, huge game following.
Right.
Gears of War, huge game following. But they're only exclusive to play to Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of games like that. There's actually a really cool game that I don't think is very as big as it should be. It's called State of Decay. It's open world zombie survival game. It is another. It's definitely my top five games that I like. You have to build up a community and you have to recruit new members. And like each member has special ability. You can kick them out if you want to bring in somebody else in that has a better ability. It's a very cool game.
Interesting. So
if you have an Xbox and you're into, you know, zombie survival kind of games, open world, it's called State of Decay. Currently State of Decay 2 is one that's currently out. We did just get a trailer for a 3, but we also got a trailer for a 3 like 2 years ago. So I don't know when the hell that's going to come out.
Very interesting. So, segue, mobile gaming.
The only mobile gaming I do is Pokemon Go.
Okay.
Huge. Uno.
Huge. A little Uno action. I don't play Uno on mobile.
It helps pass the time.
I played Clash Royale pretty competitively for a while there. Not like... like an esports level, right? Like I wasn't like ranked or anything, but I played a lot of Clash Royale.
Never got into it.
Yeah, I was really heavily into Clash Royale. It's basically like chess is how I looked at Clash Royale. Extreme strategy, future thinking 10 turns ahead, but mm-hmm. in a 3-minute time frame. It was a very fun and addicting game for me. But yeah, also, of course, Pokemon Go. So the thing about Pokemon Go is it's still pretty much the only augmented reality game that got like international traction. There have been other augmented reality. What about Pokemon? Oh, because it's Pokemon, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yes and no. Like there are other things that could use augmented reality and be extremely strong. But no one's done it. There was do you remember the name of the precursor to Pokemon Go?
There's something that came out before it.
Yeah. There was an augmented reality game that came out and they basically used all that user data to create the beta versions of Pokemon Go. It was a Niantic game. Essentially it was like Pokemon Go where you would walk to items and like, you know, how we have our Pokestops where you would like interact with this space. And they used all that geo information to map Pokemon Go.
Okay.
And yeah, there just hasn't been any augmented reality games since Pogo that have kind of
taken off,
had any kind of impact that I know of. If you know of any, let us know in the comments. But I really don't think there's anything else from an augmented reality perspective that has come close. And even VR has stalled out. I feel like VR made this huge splash when it first came out. Now we have Oculus, which is like this incredible technology and very immersive. I don't know if you've ever worn VR, but it's extremely immersive. It's very, very cool. Like even just watching Netflix in VR is awesome because it feels like there's a 5,000 inch screen in front of you. I mean,
never mind.
there's a lot of cool use cases for VR. But it just hasn't taken off to the degree that I think the potential is there for it to take off much further. I don't know. Do you ever read or watch Ready Player One?
No.
Okay. So that's a great movie.
I know the concept. I've seen a lot of clips from it.
It's a phenomenal book. I read the book when I was younger and then the movie came out and I saw the movie. It was a pretty decent adaptation of the book. The book was better. But
always is.
That is a potential future for gaming. Like what happens in that game where everybody is just immersed in this VR universe. Like I could see that happening if they somehow they colloquially, right? Like they, the people that design video games can figure out a way to make a strong enough use case for VR that we're willing to sacrifice our outside world. That's what hasn't happened yet.
Hopefully it doesn't.
Well, I wouldn't mind having something that immersive for a period of time. Think about the
impact that will have on society.
Huge. Yeah, absolutely. But video games, they've been saying that since the beginning of video games.
Yeah, but that's a little different in my opinion.
Yeah, well, we're always scared of the future, right? We're always scared of what we don't know. I think having something that could be immersive and whatever, just set a time limit on it. You can't be in a lobby for more than 30 minutes or however long.
Okay.
I mean, I think it could be really incredible. You can create some really, really incredible things with something as immersive as that. And we're trying, I feel like, from a technology perspective, right? We have these like Govee systems that have reactive lighting to make your gameplay experience more immersive. We have all these different bits of sound technology. We have Woodger vests. Do you know Woodger?
Nope.
So a Woodger is like a piece of audio technology that you wear as like a strap across your chest. And it creates a feeling of like extreme bass inside your body.
That doesn't sound fun at all.
It gives you like tactile response to your game.
Okay.
Right. If there's an explosion in your game or the horse falls or there's a thud or whatever, the Woodger puts that feeling into your body via vibration, I guess.
But what if you're on the horse and it falls? Do you get hurt? It should tighten up real hard.
It's not quite like that. There's vests, though. There's vests like at those VR arcades. You wear like a full suit and you get inside that thing that you can just run continuously in. I would
definitely fall. I've watched videos of those. No shot, I'm not falling.
They wear like haptic suits though. Haptic gloves, haptic vest, everything. Mm-hmm. It all is giving response. It's definitely possible that the future goes that way. I just feel like we haven't gotten to a place where I'm willing to utilize time where I can have no distractions. Like for me, right? Like I'm a father of two. I have a job where I work a lot of hours. There are very few times where I could don VR gear and be fully immersed. And in those times, I don't think VR is strong enough for me to want to utilize it. I still want to interact with the world around me more than I want to be in VR.
All the graphics I've seen of VR are not very good.
I don't think it's strong enough yet, I guess is kind of where I'm going.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And I think like augmented reality, Pokemon Go, much stronger use case. Community was what made Pokemon Go take off, I think.
Absolutely. You know, I've had it on my phone since day one.
Yeah, me too. Since 2016. And like, I was like, I don't know. I mean, you were in New York at the time?
Yeah, I've always been
here. So it was insanity. When in summer of 2016, when Pogo came out and early 2017.
I went to the park and talked to people I hadn't seen in years.
Yeah. Hordes of people running around trying to catch Pokemon. You'd meet up with friends like, oh, you like Pokemon too? You know, like it changed.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. And I think that really helped with the resurgence of Pokemon as well.
Absolutely.
Which was, you know, pretty awesome in my opinion. But we haven't gotten something since. And there's so many things that we could potentially see.
Well, what kind of game would you like to see with augmented reality?
I don't know, man. If I knew, I'd be a bazillionaire and I'd design it. Oh. But I just feel like there's ways to do it. What would I like to see? I'd like to see augmented reality Mortal Kombat, where people meet up and fight to the death with superpowers. That'd be sick.
Well, I mean, people meet up now and fight.
Yeah, it's called UFC. I'm talking about like something more.
I didn't even mean UFC, but yeah.
You're just watching bum fights?
It's exactly what I was thinking. I'm not even lying. Oh, the early days.
Oh, dude, bum fights. Holy cow. That's a throwback.
Yep.
But I feel like we're due for another cool augmented reality game. Pokemon Go has paved the way for something else to come along and just be like incredible. Not that Pokemon Go is not incredible. That's not what I'm saying. But there's room for more than
the time.
What's that?
I said it pisses me off all the time.
Pokemon Go?
Yeah. I used a golden raspberry and an ultra ball on a Nincada. and it wouldn't get caught.
Isn't it a legendary?
No, it's a cricket.
Hold on.
It's like a Weedle.
It evolves into Ninjask and Shedinja.
Yeah. It's not that good of a Pokemon. It shouldn't take that much to catch it.
Shedinja is a rare stage one grass type from Legends Awakened.
I know what it is. I have it. But a Nincada should not take...
It's an evolutionary byproduct of Nincada's evolution. So...
It's a complicated...
But, right. Okay. Shedinja is stage one. So I think that might have something to do with the catch rate on Nincada. That's why I'm looking it up. So obviously, like, Nincada itself is not a legendary, but I think maybe because it has to do with Shedinja.
No, it shouldn't take that much. Piss me off.
Sometimes they're just not meant to be caught. Sometimes you just have to
bite the bullet,
fight in the fight, and just let them run.
No, never.
Could have used your Master Ball.
Why would I do that? I'm saving that for a shiny Shuckle.
Ooh, shiny Shuckle, huh? Is that your favorite shiny?
No, I just love Shuckle.
Okay. Favorite shiny hilarious. Is?
I don't want to be cliche and say Charizard.
Charizard is a great shiny.
It really is. What's my favorite shiny? It's probably Charizard. Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Charizard. It's definitely not Gengar.
Gengar's shiny is weak until you get to Mega Gengar.
Yeah, that's okay, I'll give you that. Huge, I'll give you that.
Huge Gengar fan. It but is Mega Gengar weakest. Is... No, it's not the weakest. Pikachu's the weakest. No. Pikachu's arguably the strongest Pokemon we have as far as recognition of the game, right? Well, everybody yeah. who knows Pokemon knows Pikachu. And has
but
the
Gengar weakest, shiny is no.
It's like, it has it's, the weakest differentiation. Or at the okay, the Gengar same as Gengar. Does. They're the same.
No, Gengar Pikachu, is weaker.
Pikachu
is a more golden. It barely. Goes from yellow to like a goldener. Like a golden.
Barely. You're only saying that because you want to try to prove that Gengar's is weaker.
No, I'm actually not.
No, nah, they're really both not. They're both extremely weak.
I agree with extremely you. Extremely weak weaker.
Gengar is not the weakest shiny. I don't think.
It's weaker than Pikachu.
Google says the worst. Oh, wow. Look at that. The first article that comes up. What do you think the top picture is?
Gengar.
Pikachu.
What's second?
Bidoof.
Well,
it's also you tell the internet to leave
Bidoof alone. Yeah.
All right. So number 20 is Blissey, which is true. Blissey's terrible. Munchlax, also a terrible shiny. Farfetch'd, also a terrible shiny. Alolan Vulpix, like they really? Look identical. Yeah. Well, Alolan Vulpix and the Alolan Vulpix shiny. The only difference is the blue on the paws changed okay. to like a more silvery blue. Flabebe is on the list, which I disagree with. Flabebe is not blue, but it is in the shiny, the color of its like leg portion. Scyther is on the list. I don't know. Vanpee, I don't even really know if Vanpee's shiny. Beartick, I think Beartick's way more blue in the shiny. Bidoof, Glaceon.
Huh. Really?
Yeah. Elekid, I could see that. Herdier. Who cares about Herdier in the first place? Venusaur? What? Venusaur has a dope shiny.
Does it, though?
I think so. Mm. They remove all the red from him. I think it looks sick. Turn him into like a chartreuse color and take any of the red out other than the red
I don't
in his
like
mouth.
Blastoises.
Jigglypuff. That's a terrible one. And Wigglytuff. Pikachu's number 6 on the list. Dragonite.
I agree. I'm sorry.
I like
Dragonite. I love it. I love the green, but
Rick, if you're listening, you need to write in thegamer.com. Number 4 on the list is Lucario. This guy just hates green. Groudon is number 3. Ferrothorn is number 2. And Bruxish is number 1. Bruxish is a terrible Pokemon in the first place. So Gengar is not even on the list, for the record. Top 20 worst shinies, Gengar's not even on the list.
That's an opinionated conversation we're having.
Well,
though.
Pikachu made the list, so just saying.
And that's just like your opinion, man.
Let's see what Sports Illustrated has to say. Whoa, why is Espeon on the feature of this article? Espeon has an amazing shiny. Zapdos, true. Zapdos has a terrible shiny.
I'll give you that.
I like Espeon's shiny, but they say Espeon. Goldengo?
What is it, just more gold?
I can't see a difference at all, actually. I'm staring at both. There you go. The lines change from orange to gray. Oh, here's another terrible one. Tanimous is terrible.
What is it?
Lebebe, you can at least see a difference. Tanimous looks the same. It changes from like a pale blue chest to like a beige chest. Garchomp has a weak shiny. I forget about all these. Minyore is totally different. I like Minyore. I like Alolan Raichu. They have Alolan Raichu on the list. I love Ampharos. They have Ampharos on the list. Still no appearance of Gengar.
Because it's just widely known that it's trash.
Dude, I'm just looking at all these lists. I don't see Gengar anywhere.
That's because nobody asked me.
Well, the internet has spoken, and Gengar's not on any of these lists. I'm currently on Wattpad.com. Gengar not on the list.
That list doesn't count. Nobody even knows what that is.
Let's see what Reddit has to say. Reddit's the front page of the internet. We all know this is the worst shiny. It's just pictures of Burmy. That's pretty true.
That's funny. Mega Gengar is awesome, though. So that
Mega,
might be
the Mega Gengar shiny is sick.
That like may be why it's not on the list.
Could be. There's no Mega Pikachu. So how about that?
There's Mega Pikachu.
There's a lot of commonalities on this list, and Gengar's not on any of them. But yeah, I agree that the original Gengar shiny, like just Gengar to Gengar, is trash. But the Mega Gengar is a sick shiny.
Well, yeah, it is very awesome.
All right. So what was your favorite shiny?
Charizard.
Okay. But Charizard's got a great shiny. I agree. I like Lapras quite a bit.
I do like Lapras. Ponyta and Rapidash I really like.
Mm-hmm. The blue pony.
Yeah. And then it's more of a gray from Rapidash.
I really like Oddish, his whole line. Or the whole line. I know they're actually pretty weak as far as shinies go, but I just really, really like the way they look. Oddish, Vileplume, and Gloom, all of them. I like all three of those shinies quite a bit. I love Starmie.
Starmie. Starmie's dope.
Starmie's got a good shiny. I like Espeon. Espeon's on some of the top worst lists. I love it. It's like green with a purple, whatever, head thing.
Well, you like anything gem. Green.
I do like green. Yeah, you're right.
Like, Doduo looks stupid.
I like the Doduo shiny. Way better than the regular Doduo. Alright, so we know favorite shiny Charizard, least favorite shiny, you say Pikachu.
I didn't say that.
I
really don't like Blastoise shiny.
I can't remember the Blastoise shiny off the top of my head. Is it just like basically Blastoise with slight variation?
Yeah.
I'm thinking of Radiant Blastoise. Oh, it's like purple with like a green shell. You just have to look at it from the other direction.
I've never hit it from the back.
I don't mind the Blastoise shiny. I also really like the color purple, so. But the Radiant Blastoise card does not really make it look like a shiny, to be fair.
It took me forever to get that. I didn't even pull it. Casey pulled it for me.
Yeah, Casey pulled it and gave it to you that night, I remember. Shout out, Casey.
Shout out, Casey.
All right. Well, we can sit here and argue about shinies all night, but I think we've covered a lot of ground on this episode. Anything else from you?
Yeah. What I want to know in the comments are your favorite systems or your favorite games. I'd love to hear everybody's inputs on that. I'd like to know, what do you play? What are you into? If you're listening on Spotify or Apple Music or wherever you listen to podcasts, that's not YouTube, in the Discord, you can always jump on into the collective thread and share your thoughts on video games. Or also, if you want to share what shinies you like, what shinies you don't like, why you don't like Gengar, I'd love to hear it.
Awesome. I thank you guys for making it this far. I thought you were going to say something else. It's the haircut. Thank you guys. If you made it this far, I appreciate you. Make sure you like, subscribe, share, do all the things. I've been collector underscore MCB.
I've been Zach Will Martin. Follow me on TikTok so I can go live and stream my video games with you guys.
And we will see you guys on the next episode. Bye.
Bye.